you can skim your last minute comments for the grant review at 9, but before that, we wanted to welcome you back this morning. I heard some of you had a lovely dinner last night and were able to network even more, so I'm pleased to hear that. I do encourage you to look through your rosters and really see who else is here. I think you'll find there's some connections and some opportunities for peer networking as well as meeting with program officers later today. Now I want to just turn it over and let someone else welcome you back this morning. My partner in crime, along with Courtney, has been Joel Sherrill from the Division of Services and Intervention Research. We talked a lot about the translational pathway, and I say if I do a really good job with my grantees, I have to give them to Joel because they move on to doing trials, and I have to hand them over to his very capable hands, and we work a lot together, so it's been a pleasure working with him on this, and he wants to just give you some updates on DSER, and I'll turn it over to him. Joel?
Thanks, Cheryl. Again, on behalf of all of our colleagues here at the Institute, we want to welcome you back this morning, and we hope that you found yesterday to be interesting and productive. And we want to acknowledge, you know, we realize that yesterday's agenda and today's agenda include, you know, potentially overwhelming amount of information about that really underscore the complexities of the grant application process, both in terms of the science elements, but also in terms of the grantsmanship elements. And we want to remind you again that we see this meeting as just sort of one point of contact that you might have with the Institute, and we want to encourage you to maintain contacts with program officers as you continue to develop applications and as you continue to think about next steps in your program of research. So again, you know, welcome back. Yesterday, we spent a little bit more time talking about some of the programs and priorities in the Division of Pediatric Translational Research, which funds the largest portion of child and adolescent mental health research. So today, we thought we'd take a couple minutes to just tell you about some of the programs and priorities in the Division of Services and Intervention Research, where we also fund a sizable amount of research focused on child and adolescent mental health research. And in particular, we fund that research through two kinds of research, two areas of research on child and adolescent mental health research and support two areas of training. And those areas include child and adolescent treatment and preventive intervention research and child and adolescent mental health services research. Within the child and adolescent interventions research in our division is funded through the Child and Adolescent Treatment and Preventive Intervention Research Branch, affectionately known as CATPERB. Our programs of research here are divided up not by disorder as in DPTR, but rather by treatment modality. So we have programs of research that focus on psychosocial interventions, pharmacologic interventions, combined interventions, that is psychosocial and pharmacologic interventions either combined from the start or sequenced, and we also fund research on preventive interventions. This is in the notebook and on the website. So I just thought I'd take a couple minutes and talk about some of the selected priorities for later stage intervention research funded through DSER. We're particularly interested in effectiveness research, that is trials in practice in community settings, and we're interested in the identification of subgroups who may be more or less likely to benefit from interventions in the spirit of being able to optimize and individualize interventions. We know that for any given intervention, there's an efficacy ceiling, and we want to be able to sort of match people to treatment better. We're also interested in learning about the long-term effectiveness of interventions, of known efficacious interventions, so that we can tell whether or not early interventions hold promise for prophylaxis. Related to that, we're interested in the potential utility of continuation or maintenance treatments that might help extend the durability of interventions. We're interested in combined or sequenced interventions that sort of mimic the kinds of things that happen in practice with children. We know that many times kids don't come in for monotherapy or they don't end up on monotherapy, so we're interested in studying the kinds of practices that are typical of real community practice settings. And we're interested in learning about the optimal treatment duration. So despite, you know, huge amounts of research on evidence-based practices, there's really very little that focuses on how long treatment should last. And that's very important as we move treatments out into busy settings where we have community practices with huge caseloads and we have families that often can't commit to extended periods of treatment. We're interested in methodologies that help us get a handle on safety of interventions in community settings. And we're also interested in research that includes broader indices of outcomes, including indexes of functioning and cost, going beyond outcomes in terms of symptom reduction or changes in diagnostic status. We're interested in factors that impact clinician fidelity. This becomes increasingly important as we try to transport evidence-based treatments into community practice settings. So you can sort of think of this as what we usually consider to be our independent variable manipulation, treatment fidelity. We're now interested in that as a more intermediate dependent variable. We're interested in what affects whether or not real clinicians can implement our evidence-based treatments with fidelity. We're interested in work that is aimed at adapting and adjusting evidence-based treatments to increase their fit with typical patients, providers, and settings, since we know that many of the treatments that we use are very elaborate and multi-component and not well-suited to usual settings. And we also know that when you move a lot of our evidence-based treatments into community practices, the limited research that's been done suggested that there's probably a reduction in effect sizes. So the second set of research in our division is focused on child and adolescent services research, which is funded through the Services Research Branch, which includes a dedicated research program on child and adolescent research. Heather Ringeisen is the program officer for that particular program. And then additional child and adolescent services research is funded in a variety of programs in that branch with a specific focus. So some selected priorities in the services research area in our division include increasing the study of implementation processes as we move treatments to settings, enhancing our understanding of contextual influences and the provision of high-quality services or usual care, developing new and innovative service delivery models that consider broader sort of contextual factors like organizational or system-level kinds of features, increasing our knowledge of poorly understood service delivery settings. We know that a number of kids are served in primary care, in schools, and in juvenile justice, and we need to get a better handle on what happens there and what the needs are in those settings. Increasing the level and scope of existing theoretical frameworks, and moving away from traditional services research that typically counts and describes towards more theoretically grounded research that explains why trajectories exist and how to fix them. So to end up, I just want to point out that it's perhaps more intuitive to think about translational research as involving sort of neurobiology and, you know, identification of circuitry and targets for intervention development. But we also think about translational research in later stage interventions testing and in services research that incorporates research expertise in, for example, on the far left, clinical intervention research and RCT methodology with, in the middle, services research fields and frames and basic science elements, for example, cognitive decision-making sciences, along with collaboration with stakeholders, families, consumers, providers, administrators, policymakers, and stakeholders to sort of form an interdisciplinary network that will ultimately help us make sure that the interventions that we're developing and we're testing are suitable and maximally fit to typical patients, typical providers, and typical settings. Okay, thank you. So I think with that, we could probably take a question or two if there are any, and then if there aren't, we'll just see if there are any more housekeeping duties before we move on to the rest of the agenda. Okay. Way to close down a room.